Welcome to Groundwire, community radio news brought to you by volunteers at Canada's community radio stations. I'm your host, Vince Tingley. In this edition...
No pipelines! No tankers! No tar sands!
These are not the first migrant workers that are part of the program that have passed away.
Clearly part of an agenda that is not looking to produce a peaceful resolution of the crisis in the Middle East.
But first, we bring you a special roundup of grassroots national news across Canada. Ralston White and Paul Roach were two Jamaican men who had been working under the Canadian Seasonal Agricultural Workers Program at Phil Singer Farms near Owen Sound, Ontario. In September, they became the latest victims of clear workspace health and safety violations. Migrant agricultural workers like the late Ralston and Paul grow, harvest, and process much of the food Canadians enjoy, but instead of feasting at the dinner table this past Thanksgiving weekend, a great many of migrant workers from Ontario fields, farms, and factories will undertake Justicia for migrant workers' first pilgrimage to freedom. This is an arduous march of more than 50 kilometers from Leamington to Windsor's Monument for Freedom, dedicated to the Underground Railroad that brought slaves to freedom in Canada. Cessna, with Justicia for migrant workers, talks about why.
The reason why we're asking for SNAP inspections is that workplaces are sometimes or generally inspected for health and safety purposes before everybody comes, before farm workers come from the Caribbean and from Mexico. But then they're never inspected, or they're very rarely inspected while people are working there, which, you know, is very different. So we want health and safety standards to be enforced. So they passed away, and these are not the first migrant workers that are part of the program that have passed away. It happens very often, and so this time we are demanding that the Ministry of Labor make changes to the program, and we're also demanding that there's a coroner's inquest started about the deaths, which rarely happens or never happens.
In the wake of last month's Ontario Supreme Court decision to uphold a ban on blood donated by gay men, many in the gay community are countering the decision with increased information on new HIV infections. Canadian Blood Services had sued 36-year-old Kyle Freeman for negligent misrepresentation after the gay man concealed his sexual identity on the standard blood donor form.
Douglas Elliott is a leading constitutional lawyer, and he represented the Canadian AIDS Society in the Freeman case.
The Canadian AIDS Society has had a long-standing interest in the protection of the blood supply. In fact, it goes back to before the existence of the Canadian Blood Services. We were an active participant in the Creever Commission that led to the creation of the Canadian Blood Services. We believe very strongly that safety of blood supply is important, and the safety of the blood supply when it comes to gay sex and the risk of HIV transmission depends on very much on the cooperation of the gay community. We believe in order to have an effective blood screening process, you have to have a question that's scientifically sound and that has the respect and cooperation of the gay community. This question was scientifically sound and had the respect of most people in the gay community when it was introduced over 20 years ago. But it's now scientifically unjustified and overly broad. And the position of the Canadian AIDS Society is that it should be changed. We've been advocating for change for a long time. And certainly we think that at a minimum, one could safely change it to a period of celibacy of 5 years rather than the current period of 33 years.
So you're not opposed to a question that asks about sex with men?
No, it's clear that some kinds of sex with men carries with it a risk of HIV transmission. Although all blood is tested right now, and the HIV test is highly accurate.
Freeman had argued that the question on sexual orientation violated his constitutional right to equal treatment, and also that the policy further perpetrated the Canadian public's belief that all gay men must have HIV and or AIDS. Canada's fastest growing HIV demographic is young heterosexual women, who already make up 25% of all HIV infections in the country. To campus news now. McGill students returning to school last month had to do so without their bicycles. A new rule banning bike riding on campus was implemented by the university on May 28th and came into full effect as students returned to campus last month. The administration claims the rule was devised to prioritize pedestrian use of the campus, but students who rely on their bikes to get around campus say the university is unnecessarily antagonizing students. The administration claims that there have been several accidents in the past with cyclists, though they have not been able to show any statistics to that effect. The McGill Tribune claims that these accidents occurred while cars were still allowed on campus, and that cyclists and pedestrians behave differently and are able to coexist better once cars are gone. Administration has said that they may explore some flexibility with the new rule for hours of the day when the campus is less busy, though the new rule creates borders between road users that could make it difficult to reintegrate in the future. Further, concerns have been raised about the lack of serious research or consultation regarding the new rule, and that no alternatives were considered and suggested. Thanks to the Canadian University Press for that story. In other campus news, Vancouver-based mining company Goldcorp announced that they would be donating $10 million to Simon Fraser University to fund the school's art center in the already controversial Woodwards building in the downtown east side. The school will be known as the Goldcorp Center for the Arts. SFU students quickly met on October 1st and mobilized against the donation based on Goldcorp's environmental and human rights record. According to Mining Watch, Goldcorp's San Martin mine in Honduras poisoned community members, displaced an entire village from their lands, and affected the water supply to the extent that farming and ranching families were forced to migrate out of the area. In Guatemala, the company's Marlin mine is located on what was previously communally held indigenous Mayan MAM lands. One person was killed by police at a roadblock preventing mine construction. Recently, the Inter-American Human Rights Commission ruled that the Marlin mine must be shut down, but the company has refused to abide by their ruling. In California, the company recently lost a Chapter 11 dispute under NAFTA. Goldcorp has claimed that they had the right to bulldoze sacred Quechen indigenous sites and has failed in seeking government reimbursement for the costs Goldcorp incurred mitigating damage in sacred areas.
Nicholas is an organizer with the Teaching Support Staff Union at SFU.
That the administration doesn't have any accountability towards the faculty or the students. It was, almost literally, there's an opening ceremony for this new school and they rip a sheet off of a plaque and all of a sudden we find out that it's the Goldcorp Center for the Contemporary Arts. And there is something in the works right now. Hopefully next week we'll have some sort of action. A lot of the grad students are planning something for November the 9th that'll be a little bit more extensive in a number of different programs, I believe, urban studies and somewhere else that are actually already doing research on this company that sort of lay out their actual business practices.
Of the donation to Simon Fraser University, Goldcorp officials had this to say. Goldcorp is committed to making a positive difference here in Vancouver as well as those communities where we operate our mines, said Goldcorp President and Chief Executive.
We interrupt this programming. Sorry, this is now the new slot for Silver Screen Dream Machine. And we are going to start off the show today with a song from a soundtrack that we haven't played in a little while, and it's got lots of good songs on it, and it's one of the only new soundtracks that we've had come in a while. It's called Year of the Carnivore, the movie. It's original music from and inspired by the movie, and the soundtrack was made by Buck 65, Sukin Lee, and Adam Litovitz. The movie was written and directed by Sukin Lee. And this song is called What's Wrong With That on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. Keep it locked.
We'll be right back.
You're tuned into CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. This is Silver Screen Dream Machine. That was from the soundtrack for Cool World, the movie Cool World. And it was a song by Brian Eno called Under. Before that was What's Wrong With That by Buck 65, Suking Lee, and Adam Litovitz from the Year of the Carnivore soundtrack. And that was two soundtracks that... we haven't really played much from, so I hope you enjoyed those. And now we're going to play a song, a brand new song by Owen Pallett. This is from his new EP, a Swedish Love Story EP. And this song is called Don't Stop on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. And we're going to go into a song by chosen by my co-host, Electrified Voltage. And that's the band is the soundtrack of our lives. To keep the soundtrack theme going, I guess. But this is, it's not a, that's just the name of the band. It's not a soundtrack to any movies per se, but this band is from Sweden. And that's why we're playing it after, that's why we're playing it with the new Swedish Love Story EP by Owen Pallett. Here it is on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. Keep it locked.
Thank you.
That was Soundtrack of Our Lives with Impacts and Egos, the name of the song. And before that, we heard from Owen Pallett, A Swedish Love Story. And now for the movie time listings for the Bookshelf Cinema downtown Guelph at 41 Quebec Street. Today at 6:45, we have Eat, Pray, Love, and at 9:15, The American. Those same times tomorrow, Tuesday the 19th, October 19th, Eat, Pray, Love at 6:45, and The American at 9:15. And Wednesday, there's a 2 o'clock matinee for Eat, Pray, Love, and it's playing again at 6:45, and The American is playing at 9:15. And on Thursday, it's the same lineup. Eat, Pray, Love is at 6:45, and The American is at 9:15. And then Friday, we have You Will Meet a Tall, Dark Stranger at 7 o'clock, and Jack Goes Boating at 9:15. And on Saturday, Nanny McPhee returns, plays at 2 o'clock matinee, and 7 o'clock, we have You Will Meet a Tall, Dark Stranger, 9:15, Jack Goes Boating. And that same